T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John McGorry is an American who teaches English at a university in Wuhan, China. Why would the city of Wuhan sound familiar to you? Well, of course, it's the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. And for several weeks now, it's been the city on quarantine lockdown, effectively cut off from the rest of the world. Well, many Americans have managed to find a way to escape Wuhan. John McGorry has found himself stuck.
Now, McGorry has likened his experience to being trapped in an episode of The Twilight Zone, where a city of 11 million people has suddenly become a ghost town. John McGorry joins us now live from Wuhan, where it is very early Tuesday morning, about, 5:30 or so. John, thank you for getting up so early. We appreciate it.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
So can you first give us a sort of paint a picture of what life is like now in that city, which is, as we pointed out, is a very large place. It's got about 3 million more inhabitants than New York City has.
It is very strange. It's fear infested. I mean, we're all suspects. We're all, everyone's a suspect. The people that you know well don't want to see you, and clearly, no one else wants to, get close to you. So, being a city as large as Wuhan and as friendly as Wuhan, it's been a great city to live in for 6 years. It's just really sad to see what's taking place there.
John, what, for lack of a better term, what have the circumstances been that have kept you trapped in Wuhan rather than getting out like so many other Americans?
Well, I've had some circumstances that have taken place. For when I was all set to go, I resigned my position at John Hunt University, where I've been for 6 years, and I was working on coming home. But I had asked for a 2-week extension on my visa just to pack some things up and say goodbye to a lot of friends that I have and just get ready to go. And that's when everything hits. And so when the first evacuee plane came, I didn't have my passport. But I probably wouldn't have been on that one anyways. I sort of felt that at that time, anybody, there's probably people that needed to go more than I did. So, so then I was able to work with the university and get to the police department and get my passport back. And so then once the second plane now is supposed to come, it was supposed to come yesterday, but then that was canceled. There's some pushing and shoving, I think, going on between the governments, between China and the U.S., I got a report yesterday from a friend of mine in the media that said that the Chinese government's kind of upset with the United States for not doing more to help in this situation. And they were the first ones to pull their consulate out first. So I think maybe they might be slow walking this second flight a little bit to,
John, if you go outside, do you have to wear a mask? Is everybody in that city now wearing masks? Are people afraid to even talk to one another?
A lot of people, yes. They are afraid to talk to other. Like I said, I have a lot of Chinese friends who, keep admonishing me, don't go outside. But you can walk outside. On campus here, it's a beautiful campus, 25,000 student campus. So I walk every day and there's nobody on campus and I don't wear a mask where I'm walking around. I feel silly, wearing a mask when there's nobody around me. If we have to fear that, then we're in a much worse position than we need to be. So my feeling is no, I don't wear a mask when I'm outside by myself. When I'm with people, yes. There's a couple people that want to get together. We've been meeting up on the rooftop. I live in a 7-story apartment building and, so we go up on the roof. It's been sunny a few days in the 60s and 70s. So the weather's been nice. So we go up there and drink a couple of beers and, try to talk about, how difficult this all is.
Well, John, sounds like you're making what in your mind is common sense decisions as to when to wear the mask, when not to. But in the back of your mind, though, how concerned are you about coronavirus?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm hearing from my friends. You know, my I got a friend, Shing, who went to Ohio State, where I'm a graduate from. And she had mentioned that her dad had three friends who died. You know, a lady, an accounting professor here, said she had a friend who lived across the street from her that died, and then someone else in her apartment is sick. So you, when you're talking to people, you know, I'm fortunate because I live in a, you know, like I said, an apartment on campus, and almost everyone's gone. So I live in almost in a deserted building. So the chances for me getting sick are not that great, I don't believe, because I'm just not around people. But if I was living in one of the thousands and thousands of 50-story condo buildings that are in this city, I'd be afraid because, you know, you can't get in the elevator, you know, anything you touch, the buttons you push to get in the enclosed spaces, you know, the chances, you know, increase exponentially, you know. So yeah, I feel fortunate with respect to where I am.
John McGorry finds himself in a very unique, perhaps unenviable position. He's one of the few Americans left in Wuhan, China, the city that is the epicenter of the global coronavirus outbreak. After several attempts and close calls at being evacuated from Wuhan, John remains stuck in a city of 11 million people that's under lockdown, quarantine, and cut off from the rest of the world.
And John McGorry has been talking with us from China, where it is very early there Tuesday morning. He remains with us now and in depth. John, I'm curious, what is the medical care like in that city? If somebody thinks they have coronavirus, or maybe they do, what kind of care did they get?
Yeah, well, that's been an interesting development because When it first came out and the scare went on, there's like 8 or 9 hospitals here in the city, and the hospitals were overrun with people. The Chinese are very, you know, the people that I've known are, they, you know, they're very much so. Go to the hospital. You know, if you have a cold, they tell you to go to the hospital. So the hospitals got swamped, and they, you know, they didn't have the manpower, they didn't have the equipment, the supplies to handle all of this. So the city then came out and said that you couldn't get directly to the hospital now. You have to go to a community health center or, you know, some place where you can go and get checked. And then they'll check you there. If you do have symptoms of the virus, then they'll put you in a car and they'll drive you to the hospital.
Now, eventually, when you make your way back to the United States, you're going to face what I believe 14 days, 2 weeks of being in quarantine here. Are you prepared for that?
I've been in quarantine here for 2 weeks, so my life has been quarantined here for pretty much the month of February. I'm just hoping I can get to go to San Diego and stay because I have 3 sisters that live in San Diego. So once the quarantine's done, I'll have some place to go and relax.
So do you become sort of a hypochondriac about this? Do you get up every morning and check your temperature? And if you cough or sniffle, you think, oh, maybe I have the coronavirus.
Yeah, in life, I'm not much of a hypochondriac in general, but this has changed me because, every little sore throat, every, you know, and it is the winter, you know, you get dry from the heating machines that they have here. So yeah, I've been feeling that way, but I feel pretty good now because now, when they said there was a 2-week period where you could get sick, you could, you know, be infected and it would take up to 2 weeks for it to manifest itself. And I just went through the 2-week period as yesterday, and so I feel a lot better. That
but now you have to make sure you don't have contact with anybody, right?
Oh, yeah, and this will be interesting because I just got a WeChat from a friend who is showing all the long lines and the foods and everything. You know, flying on an airplane with 230 people from Wuhan is not the most exciting thing I have on my agenda. Let's say that.
You sound like a cool cucumber. I can't help but wonder about some of your close friends, though. Are they as cool as you, you know, through all this? And I guess I'm wondering also, do you have friends who have been affected as well?
No, I have a friend, Liz, who's from South Africa, and she's petrified. I mean, you know, she's very afraid. And she, you know, her government really can't afford or doesn't really have the number of people here, you know, to have a plane to leave. So she's stuck. And as we pull out one by one, you know, I feel, you know, I really feel, you know, nervous about her. And hopefully she can mentally, you know, hang in there because it is a pressure. I mean, I may sound like I'm not worried, but believe me, it's hard. Hopefully they have some psychological help in the So my 2 weeks, I'll be able to talk to somebody about this when it's all done.
John, how is this being covered in China, where you are?
Oh, well, you know, the Chinese are, they're trying to, you know, they always do. They circle the wagons and, you know, they encourage all their, you know, everyone to say the right things and, you know, not, you know, to praise the government. And, you know, so when you look through my WeChat, I've got about 650 people that I'm in contact with. You know, they're all, you know, basically their sign is, their catchphrase is Wuhan refueling. So like they're Boston strong. So they're all in there trying to, you know, keep everyone's spirits up and, you know, say that the government's doing what they, you know, everything they need to do. And so, you know, that, in that sense, you know, the Chinese, you know, they're very, you know, they're very pro-government. So.
How in touch with family and friends are you back here in the United States? And maybe tell me the level of concern you're hearing from family members here.
Yeah, sure. I've got a brother that lives in Manhattan Beach. I talked to Jimmy, my brother Jim. I talked to him yesterday. You know, I've talked to my family back in Columbus. I've got three grown children and I got, you know, three grandkids. I'm going to have another grandchild. So yeah, they're nervous for me. And I try to keep in contact with them and, you know, with Facebook and, you know, and other forms of social media, I can keep letting them know that I'm okay and everyone's, you know, encouraging and, you know, so that's, yeah, everyone's been really good. I'm getting, you know, I have a small company. I just finished writing a book, an English book. You know, so I have a website, American Speech Company. So I've had a lot of people that have been, you know, I just read a note from a lady from South Carolina with a child, a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, and she's afraid. And she's, you know, she's writing to me and saying, thank you for letting us know. And I'm so afraid. And I had a friend, somebody from New York City who did the same thing. So, the fear is really, you know, it goes across borders. There's a lot of, people that are concerned about this. And,
John, do you think that this whole, you know, your entire city is pretty much under quarantine? Do you think that that's a good idea, or does it make it worse in some ways?
It probably makes it worse a little bit for the people here, but I think it's been the right call. I mean, I can't say that it's been the wrong thing to do for the Chinese, and I think they've been praised by in some quarters for doing this and having the ability to do it. So no, I think it's probably been the right call, and it's kept it to some extent controlled within Wuhan. I mean, but it's not pleasant though to be here. I mean, that's for sure.
All right. John McGorry, thank you so much. John is joining us from Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, and remains under quarantine there.